Bible describes his handiwork, the things that he made with his hands, speak of the beauty, the wisdom, the magnificence of the Lord. The rocks, the mountains, the animals. If we could understand the noises they make, we'd obviously know that praising the Lord, and the psalmist actually does that. In Psalm 20 and 21, they're really connected to each other. One is, David is going for war. And it was custom that when the kings are going to war, they'd make sacrifice in worship to God and pray as well. People and the high priests, the leaders alike, would pray. So in Psalm 20 is really a prayer for David. And then in Psalm 21, David's prayers, the prayers that the people made on behalf of David and those he actually made by himself, were answered, and he responds with joy. Let's pray and then get into our study. Lord, thank you so much for the time that you've allowed us to be here. Thank you so much for the word that you have for us today. Lord, thank you so much for the work that you do through us, Lord. And Lord, as we step in David's shoes again to see his experience with you, Lord, we want to learn. We want to have a fresh and new experience with you as well. So Lord, may this not be just another Bible study, but one unique one, as you have a lesson for each one of us. Lord, our hearts are open, our minds are open. We choose to focus on the things that you have to say to us. In Jesus' name, amen. So Psalm 20, the chief musician, a psalm of David. May the Lord answer you in the day of trouble. May the name of the God of Jacob defend you. May he send you help from the sanctuary and strengthen you out of Zion. May he remember all your offerings and accept your burnt sacrifice. May he grant you according to your heart's desire and fulfill all your purpose. We will rejoice in your salvation, and in the name of our God, we will set up our banners. May the Lord fulfill all your petitions. Now I know that the Lord saves his anointed. He will answer him from his holy heaven with a saving strength of his right hand. Some trust in chariots, some horses, but we will remember the name of our Lord, the Lord our God. They have bowed down and fallen, but we have risen and stand upright. Save, Lord. May the King answer when we call. Now, one of the things that I said from the beginning is that David is really writing from his own experience. As a king, he was also the commander of the army of Israel, the Lord's army. And what dominates the Psalms is actually his own experience in war, in victory, in pain, and all the memories he had, both as king and as a soldier. So he's preparing for battle. Now, I don't know if you've been a soldier or not, but one of the most traumatizing things in this world is war. And if you've known people who have served in any military, you know that they are very, very brave. And the things they go through in war are sometimes completely unthinkable. I had a story, I actually saw a documentary of this man who was involved in the US-Vietnam War. And 40% of his body was burned. A bombshell literally exploded in his hands. Can you imagine? But he made it through. He survived. It was a long past recovery and multiple surgeries. And through that experience, he got to know Jesus Christ. He has a wonderful testimony. There is one I heard about who lost his ear. His ear was blown off in war. So he, during the battle, remained with one ear, and after the service, after the war, he was given an artificial ear. So when, sometimes we do it for fun, sometimes he removes it and pockets it, and people are wondering, man, the guy has one ear, and he would do it for fun. He almost turned it out into something laughable. But imagine David is going for war. Soldiers with him. They're going to fight. And these weren't just Israel's enemies. They were God's enemies. They hated God's people. And if you hate God's people, you know you are coming against God himself. So they are setting themselves to fight. One of the interesting aspect of war is that you do not know whether you're going to win or lose. It's almost like sports. You walk in and you're going to do your best, but your opponent, your enemy is also going to do their best. So you do not know whether you're going to win or lose. Good enough for David, it was not just him fighting the war by himself. He knew that it was actually God behind him. Now, if you're a soldier and you're going for war and you do not know whether you're going to win or lose, it's really a horrible feeling. I have a friend in the Ugandan army who went to Somalia. When he came back, he just ran away from the army. After surviving his service there, he came back and just took off for dear life. I think he had just gone through enough. He took off. David knows better than any other soldier. He knows it's not time to run away. It's time to fight. And it's not just time to fight. It's time to fight with the Lord. With the Lord on his side. And that makes a big difference. And as they're setting out for war, and this must have been with an assembly of both the high priests and the leaders in the temple, the kings and the administrators, ordinary people, wherever they were in prayer. May the Lord answer you in the day of trouble. War is troublesome. If you are old enough to remember the wars that we've had here, if you around my age, you know that you grew up in a war zone. A good amount of the landmass of our country was under conflict. I remember myself and my family being caught in between. Somehow made it through. But war is troublesome, and the people are really praying, God help you. God answer you through all the troubles that you're going to go through in war. May the name of the God of Jacob, the God of Israel, defend you. May he send you help from the sanctuary and strengthen you out of Zion. May he remember all your offerings and accept your burnt sacrifice. Now, if you read the history of the wars that Israel fought, the Israelites fought, some they took up arms and won. Some, God would tell them, just go and sing. Some, it was an overnight attack. They were completely defenseless, but the enemy failed to conquer. In others, they lost for many reasons, for sin and presumption and disobedience. Their desire right now is that God would help God would defend and God would answer their plea with a yes. God would cause them to be victorious. May he remember all the offerings and accept your burnt sacrifice. When I think about the position David is in as a king and as a warrior, I think about leaders. I think about political leaders. I feel for them because it is hard work managing a country, isn't it? It's hard enough work even managing your own life. You need a lot of help. Think about managing a cabinet, for example. Overseeing, let's say, our population, 33 million people. Do you even sleep when you know that your year is entirely covered by events and meetings and conferences and campaigns and all these things? It's actually very rare. It's tiring. It is stressing, it's straining. And we can all be feeling for David that now he has to go off the throne as a king. He has to wear military attire. He has to pick up a sword and a spear and a shield and go fight with his men. If it doesn't go well, the Israelites are losing a king, right? The throne would be empty. They really needed to pour their hearts to the Lord on behalf of their king. Now, I can imagine the emotions that David went through hearing the prayers of others for him. He's out there, arms ready to go for war, and he's listening to the prayers that the people are making for him. And he later, Ron puts it here for us to read and to think about. Most of the Psalms is actually his thoughts, his emotions, his experiences as he writes, but he's actually recording the words of other people and putting it here for us. Maybe he's closed his eyes, of course he's bowed his head, and he's listening, and these people are praying, may God answer you. May the name of the Lord defend you. May he strengthen you. May he remember your burnt offerings. May he grant you according to your heart's desire and fulfill all the purpose. He's hearing, we will rejoice in your salvation, and in the name of our God, we will set up our banners. May the Lord fulfill your petitions. One of the things about prayer is actually relief from every weight that you're carrying when you know somebody's praying for you. There's so much relief. And much as there's so much anxiety here, there's so much thoughts, there's so much dangers ahead, I think he's really comforted by the fact that people are praying for him. His desire was that God's people would be protected. And that desire was in line with God's will. His purpose was really to be victorious in defending the borders of Israel. And you know what? That was what God wanted for them. It's one thing to pray, but it's another thing to pray knowing that your prayer direction is really what God wants for a nation like it was for him, but even for our needs. Do you think God is going to answer such a prayer when you know that it is his will? At least you're sure that he's going to nod. He's going to say, yeah, that's my desire. That's my will. That's my plan. I want to protect my people. I want to protect my nation. I want to protect the apple of my eye. I listen to your prayers and be sure they are answered with a yes. We learn a lot from this small psalm. One lesson is that of intercession. Do you know somebody who is actually going through almost a war experience. So much uncertainty ahead. Dangers ahead. They're going to unfamiliar territory, and even if the territory is one that is familiar, I mean, David is an accustomed warrior. He's ready to go at any time. But you see, every war or battle is different. Do you know somebody who is facing so many challenges? Really uphill tasks. In a job, at work, at home, ill health, painful transitions, and all. They need your prayer. One of the ways that you sympathize with people like David going for war is to pray for them. And it's prayer in line with what God wants. Now, most of the time, we actually know what God wants, don't we? Some of our prayers are just wishful thinking. Some are just blabberings. Some are just repetition. Some are just, you know, passionless. Some are just for the sake of praying. But the people here, whether these are high priests or just ordinary people, they're really praying with a purpose. And they're not unnecessarily wordy. Have you had people pray? You tell them to pray for a meal, they'll pray for 10 minutes, just a meal. Their prayers are very direct, very straight to the point. God, we need protection. How long, now this is really a sending troops to war. How long would it take you to pray this prayer for soldiers going for war or for somebody who you know is really facing difficult times ahead? Probably just a minute or less. Very direct, very honest, very straightforward. And that's really the heart of prayer, and especially intercession. It doesn't have to be hours and hours of words that are actually repeated over and over again. They are very direct. God, we need protection. God, we need defense, Lord. We need our King to return victorious. We need you to fulfill the desires of his heart. What are the desires of your heart? For David, it was victory for this war. How about you? Now, sometimes we get so desperate for certain things that have you ever made such a prayer? Lord, only this time, please. If you rescue me this time, I will never mess up again. Oh God, there is just this one thing. God, just leave everything else. Just give me this one thing. It's all I need. Prayer out of desperation. But again, alongside the lesson of prayer that we learn here, just be honest with yourself in prayer. Because you know why you want the victory or whatever you're asking for. Would it be something that God wants, or it's just something that you want for yourself? And in many places, we find reasons why God has to say no sometimes. Sometimes it's timing. Sometimes it's sin. Sometimes it's asking amiss. Asking for the wrong thing at the wrong time. And God says, no, I won't pay attention to that. It's an obvious no. But there are those very sincere desires in our hearts that it's actually God who has put them there. It's not just yourself. And tell you what, God wants to fulfill those. It was God's desire that Israel would be safe, his people and boundaries. God is definitely going to say yes to David. May the Lord fulfill all your petitions by saying, God, answer all your prayers, all the things that you're asking for. May God answer them. There's a story of two groups of people praying. And of course, these were conflicting groups. And one was praying, God, just don't answer their prayers. I prayed like that. Maybe your landlord is on your neck and you're like, God, just make him forget about me for today. God, just make him forgive me for this month. God, just answer their prayers. Answer his prayer. Answer her prayer. That's a good way to pray, right? Lord, I do not know what they're praying for, but just answer them. Whatever it is. And then now, I know that the Lord saves his anointed. He will answer him from his holy heaven with the saving strength of his right hand. Some trust in chariots, some in horses, but we will trust. Remember the name of our God. They're praying with confidence. They're praying knowing that God was going to help. And one of the principles of prayer, whether it's personal petitions or even intercession, praying on behalf of somebody else, is praying knowing God will listen and attend to what you have to say. Now, to be honest, sometimes, especially as, you know, pastors, as a pastor, somebody comes for prayer, and you probably know the answer to the prayer. Has somebody come to you to pray for them, and you probably know the answer, but you don't want to tell them the answer. You don't want to, and you kind of just, okay, let's pray. But that aside, prayer should be made in confidence, in assurance that God will attend to it. Whether it's a no or a yes, right? God, if you're going to say no, you're going to say no. God, if you're going to say yes, you're going to say yes. God, if you're going to wait, if you're going to tell us to wait, you're going to tell us to wait and ready for the answer. I know that the Lord saves his anointed. He basically helps and is referring to himself as anointed. He's the king here. You know, kings of Israel would be enthroned by anointing. There are those that get enthroned by all these, you know, traditions that almost is different in every culture. For the Israelites, anointing, they would get a jar of oil and pour it down the king's head. And the people are saying, whoever was leading the prayer, I know that the Lord helps his king. I know that the Lord is going to help this person I'm praying for. Whatever help they need. If even that help is God telling them no, he will answer him from his holy heaven. Now think about answers to prayer. And so many books have been written on answers to prayer and prayer and all. But you know that God answers every prayer that we make? Do you know that? Do you often like the answer? No. And sometimes when God actually says no, when we are pushing him for a yes, we get disappointed and frustrated. It almost kills our faith. But he may say no. He may say yes. He may say, you know what, just keep quiet. Don't even think about it. Don't even mention that again. And in many places through the Bible, we see God actually saying no to men. Says, no, I won't do that. Some places it says, yes, I'll do that. Some places it says, yes, but you'll have to wait a little while. These people are praying knowing God will obviously give an answer. Whether it's a loss or a victory, there's an answer on the way. God is going to answer from heaven where he lives. He's either going to say yes, victory for you, or no. It's a problem that you need to attend to. It's something that we need to work on. Or wait, I need to teach you how to be patient here. He'll respond from heaven with the saving strength of his right hand. You know, one of the most painful things actually to deal with as a Christian is when God says no. What do you do when he says no? Do you insist or you leave it alone? Do you then start fasting 40 days? Maybe he wants me to fast. Let me try harder. Now, prayer is made in confidence, but we had better be ready for the answers, even when the answers are not what we're expecting. Surely he does answer with the strength, saving strength of his right hand. This is a very popular verse. Some trust in chariots, some in horses, but we will remember the name of our Lord God. They have bowed down and fallen. We will rise and stand upright. Towards the end of their prayer, much as they are ready for war, much as they've made all the preparations, warriors are normally trained. These military men are trained. They're equipped. They have horses, they have shields, they have spears, they have arrows, helmets. Are they going to depend on what they have or actually on God himself? And for everyone who goes through difficult times, comes face to face with this issue of trust. And that happens every day, doesn't it? Where is your confidence? Who is going to help you? Who is going to save you? Who is going to give you a victory? Again, when we look at the history of the wars that the Israelites fought, in some cases they were completely outnumbered. Thousands of Assyrians versus just a few hundred Jews. Remember Gideon? When God told him, it's time for war. You need to come against those people who are attacking you and stealing your food and all. Gideon, of course, after getting real confirmation from the Lord, got as many men as possible. Right? The more men you have, the more military power on your side. And God would have to deal with Gideon's number mentality. The more, the better. He told them, you know what? You actually have to cut it down to just a few. Now imagine you're going to attack 10,000 people who are really well armed. And God says, you know what? You only need 300. Who are you going to trust in? The men that you have or God? What if your enemies are actually a lot more superior than you are? Superior in military weapons. Have you read the history of all the wars that Israel has fought to this day? You will actually be amazed at how God has fought for his people. It wasn't just his people fighting for themselves. It was God practically fighting for them. I mean, think about the wall of Jericho. Where in Exodus? Can you bring down a city just by shouting? Really? And in the modern times, think about even the Palestinians attacking them using all those missiles. Almost finishing Israel, but never. God always fights for them. Have you read the history of the Six-Day War? When Jordan, Egypt, and was that Iraq or Iran, teamed up to beat them up, but Israel actually ended up gaining more territory. It's just a few million people against three nations. And in 6 days, the attackers gave up. They quit. They ended the war themselves with terrible losses. Each day we face this issue of trust. Who do you trust in? You trust yourself, you trust what you have, you trust in your own strength? Or do you trust in the Lord? Where is your confidence? Now, one of the things about this life is that it's really very difficult to live if we don't trust in the Lord. If our confidence is not in the Lord, I don't even know how people live. I mean, how do you wake up and face a very unpredictable tomorrow without trusting in the Lord? It's a lot harder. And as David is fighting, he knows it's not just his horses and shields and helmets that are going to help, but it's God himself. And I wish leaders and followers alike remember this. Because there's a tendency, because we are humans, of people having confidence, so much confidence in their leaders. And sometimes it's the leader's fault. The leader makes people trust in them. It's like he becomes their everything. One of the reasons of leadership in this country is that one man has really rallied so many people behind him that if he's gone, if we wake up and our president is gone, you know that there are people who are really going to crash, like making a real nosedive, like up, down. It's both a leadership problem, but it's also a problem of the followers. How do you dare trust in men like that in your right mind? You know he is as frail and as human as you. He's but a vapor just like you. So why would you have so much confidence in a person who you know is just like you? He may be sick tomorrow. He may be down, he may be drowned, he may be crushed. I wish people wake up the realization that human strength, animal strength, military strength, and every other strength fails. They are all limited. Only God is unlimited. And even we Christians, you know, sometimes people do it out of ignorance. They don't know much. But we Christians, leaders and ordinary Christians alike, fall in the same trap. We want to trust the people or the things that are visible. Right? And sometimes we trust these things so much, sometimes God has to take them away to have our attention. Whether it's personal achievements, accomplishments, people, staff, money, whatever it is. And sometimes God takes them away himself to get our attention. I wish we just learned to Every day, just trust in the Lord. There is no single thing that you can trust in, or single person that you will trust that will not disappoint you. Only God is worthy of our trust. Everything else will disappoint us. Let others trust in whatever they want to trust in. As these people declare, we choose to trust in God. We know that tomorrow is completely uncertain. We don't know what tomorrow will bring, but we know that God is there already. He knows the beginning from the end. And of course, saying that we should not trust people does not mean that we don't look up to them for direction or for guidance, whatever it is. But even in such cases, we're not just trusting the person, we're trusting the Jesus in the person. Because the person without Jesus, even as a Christian, is terribly going to let you down. Let's remember the Lord. Now for some, they have to go through terrible experiences to remember the Lord. There are those who get tired of the Lord. And they go out and wander for years, they still come back to square one. Simple trust in the Lord. There are those who have to hit and crush walls. We're stubborn people, aren't we? And all of us can go that direction. Let's be sensitive to remember the Lord. Only the Lord is worthy of trust. Those who trusted in everything else bow down and fall. They fail. And in many places in scriptures, we see all the pagans believing and trusting in their idols. And not once did those idols help. Not once. Remember prophets like Elijah and Elisha compared to the prophets of Baal. He told them, okay, let's do this. Give your offering there and see what happens. And I will put my offering here and see what happens. The offering that's given to God is consumed even when the place is completely soaked with water. Fire comes down from heaven and takes it. And these prophets of Baal, they cry all day. They cut themselves up. Nothing. They bow down and fail. But we have risen and stand upright. Save, Lord. May the King answer when we call. I encourage you to do a lot of study. I read a lot about Israel. When you study the history of Israel, even in their imperfections, they have always stood upright. They always win. Even when God allows terrible things to happen to them, to discipline them, you know, they always come out victorious. I mean, think about the Holocaust. Millions of them killed. But you know what happened? Just 3 days after the war ended, Israel was a nation again. After thousands of years, over 1,000 years, just 3 days after World War II, Israel was a nation again. If you follow their war against Palestine and Egypt and Jordan and Iran and Iraq, as many as those Arabs are, they cannot get rid of Israel, this tiny, small number of people in a very small place. And each time they make an attack on them, you know that the Israelites win all the time. I remember, I think it was 2 years ago, the Sudanese government was attempting to build a nuclear plant. And the Jews denied it, but the Jews came in a split second, bombed it, and took off. They offered no apology, and they even denied it. The Palestinians, you know, they are sending missiles towards Jerusalem and Tel Aviv, but you know the Jews are actually in their territory building settlements. Do you watch TV and follow all these wars? They're actually physically, they are building in Palestinian territory, but the Palestinians are trying to hit Jerusalem and they can't. So do you know what they resort to doing? Knife stabs. But even that, you can only kill one person with a knife, right? And before you're overpowered. They used to do a lot of suicide bombing. Now that has declined. The lesson is, it really rewards to trust in the Lord. It really rewards. And that's what God wants to remind us today. There are those who trust in all this technological progress and everything around us. Of course, those things are good. But they fail, don't they? You trust in the internet, there's sometimes no connection. You trust in umeme, sometimes it's load shedding. You trust in friends, sometimes they get stuck in jam. They don't make it on time. You put too much trust in people, they disappoint you, you crash. But those who choose to rest and have confidence in the Lord always stand. They can be shaken, but they always stand. And stand firm. In the end, in verse 9, we say, Lord, may the King answer us when we call. Lord, help, and may you give us the answer that we want to hear when we call upon you to help. And in verse 1 of chapter 21, this is the response. Now, the King shall have joy in your strength, O Lord, and in your salvation. How greatly shall he rejoice. You have given him his heart's desire. And I have not withheld the request of his lips. Selah. For you meet him with the blessings of goodness. He set crowns of pure gold upon his head. He asked life from you, and you gave it to him, length of days forever and ever. His glory is great in your salvation. Honor and majesty you have placed upon him. For you have made him most blessed forever. You have made him exceedingly glad with your presence. For the king trusts in the Lord rather. And through the mercy of the Most High, he shall not be moved. Your hand will find all your enemies. Your right hand will find those who hate you. You shall make them as fiery. Even in the time of your anger, the Lord shall swallow them up in his wrath, and the fire shall devour them. Their offspring you shall destroy from the earth, and their descendants from among the sons of men. For they intended evil against you. They devised a plot which they are not able to perform. Therefore, you will make them turn their back. You will make ready your arrows and your string toward their faces. Be exalted, O Lord, in your own strength. We will sing and praise your power. So David and his men went out to fight. Whatever happened, victory was theirs. Their trust in the Lord paid off. It's rewarded. And they gather again, and this is what they say. The king shall have joy in your strength. The king will be happy because of your strength, O Lord. And in your salvation, in your help, he rejoices. You have granted his heart's desire. How do you feel when God grants your heart's desire? Don't you leap for joy? You feel like telling everyone, I really wanted this thing, God gave it to me. You have not withheld the request of his lips. You listened to what he had to say and you granted the request. Well, let me ask this. If God said no to the request, would you still leap for joy? Like, yeah, God said no to me, it's okay. We normally jump when it's a yes. We should also jump when God says no, by the way. For you meet him with blessings of goodness, you set a crown of pure gold upon his head. There are those who pursue blessings. They pursue God for the blessings he has, right? Not so with David. You know that blessings actually were upon him. God met him with blessings of goodness. God gave him length of days. He reigned quite a long time. God saved, God helped. Salvation there. That's not the salvation of believing in Jesus, salvation of help. God helped him. Honor and majesty you have placed upon him. One of the most honored and honorable kings in Israel is David to this day. We talk about David like he's still alive, right? Somewhere reigning, like an old man still alive. But this is thousands of years ago. Honor was upon him and majesty. You have made him most blessed. There is such a thing as being most blessed. We find it here. There are people who are blessed, there are people who are most blessed. One of them was David. You have made him exceedingly glad with your presence. I love that because sometimes we attach blessings to stuff. This was a man who is simply happy he won a war. And his exceeding gladness is actually because God was with him. It's being really most blessed, per se, with a simple knowledge that God is with you. I wish we could stop attaching blessings to what we have. Because sometimes we'll not have anything. I guarantee you. But does that mean we're not blessed if we don't have anything? We are really blessed. The most blessing is knowing God is with us. I mean, this is a man who went out to fight. He doesn't know what's going to happen. Though he's confident in the Lord, he goes, wins a war, a battle. And there's nothing he cares about apart from the fact that God is with him. That's what made him happy. Not just the victory, by the way. Of course, he was happy that he won. But more than that, was happy to know that God was actually with him. For the king trusts in the Lord. He mentions that again. And through the mercy of the Most High, he shall not be moved. God made him strong. One of the things that we need the most is growing in our spiritual strength. And your strength is actually tested through tough times, aren't they? How strong are you as a Christian? How firm are you in your faith as a Christian? There are things that God will send our way just to test our strength and to strengthen us. What happens when, for example, that thing that you're praying for the most is not granted? Does that make you a stronger Christian or a weaker, weeping, emotional Christian? If you've gone for war, you fought, you know that the Lord was with you, God gave you victory, you know that is going to make you stronger? But you know the tough part is actually have to go out and fight. Is there anyone who is often attacked, tormented by fear? Do you know that you have to wake up and beat that fear to overcome it? To gain strength against the fear? What happens, for example, when you lose stuff? There's a time in David's life where he turned his trust from God to the number of his army, and he made a terrible loss. But do you know that that did not weaken David? He learned his lesson and he grew stronger in his belief in God. One of the things that we should resolve every as Christians is to decide to grow stronger in our faith. Come what may, stand firm. Stand firm. The storms will beat. Things will come your way that will completely shake you. Let them leave you stronger. I'll tell you what. If you want to test the strength of whatever it is, you know you have to test it. You have to push it and see if it will break. And that's what God allows to happen to us sometimes. You go to war and fight. And through that, I'm going to make you strong. And you know that a soldier who has gone out for war, for one war, can go for the second and third and fourth. And each time, he's actually more courageous. Have you had friends who have gone to the Middle East to fight alongside the American forces, international forces? You know that there are those who go once, come back, and they really want to go back next time? They have become courageous. They are fearless completely. And they know they may die. They know that, you know, I may not return. But you see them going back for training, they jump on the plane and off they go. Isn't that courage? Isn't that strength? How many of us will survive a battle and then go back a second time? You'd be like my friend who went to Somalia and ran away from the army. But most, what I'm saying here is, whatever God takes us through, come out strong. Don't come out weak and frail and kind of beaten up by the weather. Come out strong. Let your faith be seen. Let your firmness, the firmness that you stand in the Lord, be seen. And let everybody see that you're not just firm for any reason, it's just because you trust God. Your hand will find all your enemies, and now he turns to declare how God will deal with his enemies. You will deal with your enemies, your hand will find all your enemies, your right hand will find those who hate you, you shall make them as a fire oven in the time of your anger, the Lord shall swallow them up in wrath, fire shall devour them. Their offspring also, their children, will also suffer the same fate. Those who intend evil and devise evil will not be able to perform it. Therefore, you will make them turn their back. You'll make them take off. You will make ready your arrows and your string toward their faces. Be exalted, O Lord, in your own strength. You will sing, praise your power. A few lessons that we learn from this psalm. When you know tough time is ahead, and when you know that there is a tough time ahead of somebody, please pray for them. It's called intercession. Pray, pray, and pray for them. Pray in confidence. Pray for our leaders. This is the most, in our country, this is the most terrible time, economically and in everything else. It's going to be elections next year. This is the time when all their anger against each other come out. This is the time when they drain our national treasury to campaign. This is a time when all evil, like all hell breaks loose. You know that phrase? Like if they have to kill, they kill. If they have to steal, they steal. If they have to bribe, they bribe. If they have to step on each other, they do. Just to have a position. Let's pray for our leaders. I know sometimes you really get discouraged praying for them, right? Like you're praying today and the guy does more mess tomorrow. Like God, I've been praying for 27 years. Keeps getting worse. Our place is one of prayer. Pray, pray, pray. In Proverbs chapter 21, verse 1, the king's heart is in his hand. The king's hand is in the heart of the Lord. Like rivers of water, he turns it wherever he wishes. God has their hearts in his hands. And tell you what, God can turn those hearts around for his glory, can't he? There's nothing too hard for him. May we be praying that God may just change their hearts. Second lesson is one of trust. God had warned them in Deuteronomy chapter 17, verse 16, talking about kings. But the kings shall not multiply horses for themselves, nor cause people to turn to Egypt to multiply horses. For the Lord has said to you, you shall not return that way. Having walked this journey of faith, Christians, we should only look forward. We cannot start trusting in something else or even going backward to the world, to Egypt. Be careful when you start multiplying stuff for yourself, because you know what? They will steal your heart. The moment the kings of Israel started growing richer and richer, you know that they left the Lord and God had warned them. Now, there's nothing wrong about money or wealth or stuff. There's nothing completely wrong about them. But the moment you give yourself to them, apart from God, that's where the problem is. You start looking at all that stuff, apart from God, you're going down. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. I know you have one. We all have a brain. We have some knowledge. We can easily be tempted to trust in what we know. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths. That's the safest place to be. A place of simple confidence in the Lord. Whatever comes. The psalmist in verse 13 of chapter 21 ends with, Lord, be exalted in your own strength. And he ends with a commitment to sing praises. We will sing and praise your power. The psalmist again wrote in Psalm 68, verse 4, sing to God, sing praises to his name. Extol him who rides in the clouds. By his name, yeah, and rejoice before him. The Christian community is a singing and a praising community. And not just to talk about those things, but to do them. And the model of our modern day church services actually dates as far as these times in the nation of Israel. They would just gather to sing for the Lord. And this practice would continue. After the New Testament, Christians would gather, read the book of Acts, just to sing to the Lord. Come early for church and don't miss a single song. Come and sing for the Lord. Come and praise him. Come and extol him. Him who rides in the cloud. We learn to pray. We learn to trust. We learn to sing praises to the Lord. Amen. Let's stand. Lord, your word tells us how all leaders are under your watch, Lord. Their hearts are in your hands. Lord, we want to pray for just a change of heart, especially for our political leaders, oh God. This is the time when all their selfishness, their greed, and all sorts of evil come out just to attain or protect their positions. Lord, we often forget that it's you who places us there, whoever you choose, oh God. And we know that that's why this world is broken. We're thinking that we can manage our own affairs. That's why we cheat and steal and kill. Lord, we are selfish people. Only you can change our hearts. Only you can change the hearts of our leaders. And we want to pray that you turn their hearts, Lord, towards yourself. Lord, we long for that day when we see our leaders repent, genuinely repent. When they become selfless, Lord. When they become really your representatives wherever you place them. Lord, you can do that. So, Lord, work your way through their hearts, oh God. But through David's experience here, we learn to trust, to have confidence in you, Lord. The temptation is to look somewhere else, to look at things that we can see. And Lord, faith is believing in you who we cannot see. And much as, Lord, we cannot see you physically, Lord, we are so aware of your presence with us. We know for sure you're here with us. And you're with us wherever we go. Lord, we want to remember you always. We want to remember you, Lord. We want to trust in you more. Lord, through whatever experience you take us, Lord, make us strong. Whatever storms, whatever valleys, whatever hardships, whatever battles we fight, may we come out strong. Lord, grant us victory through our war, in our war against evil, Lord. Those arrows being shot at us. Lord, help us every day dress. Put on your armor, Lord, of faith, of truth, of salvation, of righteousness. Clothed with your word, O God. Sword of your spirit. Powered by your spirit, O God. Lord, we just want to live lifestyle of praises to you, O God. And not just when we gather here, but everywhere and anywhere. Just singing songs that exalt you. You deserve to be sung for, Lord, and you alone deserve all our praises, oh God. In Jesus' name. Amen.